Ready to elevate your career with a professionally published book? Are you simply not sure where to start? Your search ends here, my friend. Let's walk the publishing path together and bring your book to life with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I'm here to coach thought leaders, executives, and speakers on how to successfully self-publish your book while avoiding common pitfalls. I'm Lana Liquidy Smarges. Join me each week to acquire practical wisdom and proven strategies and find out what the traditional publishing companies simply don't want you to know. This is more than just a podcast. It's your roadmap to becoming a published author. Get ready to write your blueprint for book publishing success with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. Hey, friends and future authors. This is Lynn Aliquity Smarges, ghostwriter and book editor at Write For You. I'm excited about today's topic because this is actually a questionnaire someone had sent me to answer. So I am going to give you this questionnaire because I thought this questionnaire this author made up was absolutely fabulous. And it's 22 questions you want to ask anyone you're considering hiring for a book editor. Because even though I didn't get hired by this person, I love this questionnaire that he created because it covers all of the major things that you want to ask anyone who is a professional book editor. You, again, remember, you don't want to hire your friends and family, things like that. But before we jump into today's show, I want to really quickly share a client experience with you. I recently worked with a gal named Reagan, and she needed some book coaching. So we did a book coaching session together, and this is what she had to say about her experience. Reagan says, "Thank you, Lynn. I truly appreciate the clarity you helped me to reach today. The most valuable part surrounding the self-publishing and design options you shared. I look forward to becoming a member of your online community to focus on other topics you have to share." Reagan, thank you so much for that review, and you can find that 5-star review and the 24 other 5-star reviews I have on Google My Business when you look up Write For You. And if you would like to become a part of that community that Reagan mentioned, I would love for you to be a part of it as well. You can go to school.com, it's S-K-O-O-L, and look up Publishing for Leaders. Now, this community is currently free, but it's only going to be free for the first 100 members, and it's going to fill up fast. So make sure that you join the community today. All right, future authors, do you have your pencil and notebook handy? Because if you do, we're going to dive into today's episode so you get one step closer to self-publishing your book. All right, the 22 questions you want to ask before you hire a book editor. And I am actually going to give you my answers to these questions. So not only do you have the questions, but you have the answers as well. If you would like a copy of this document, join my school community and I will post it in the general discussion for you. So question number one, what genre do you most often edit? Have you worked on comedic memoir or narrative nonfiction? Because that's what this person was looking for. So my answer is I primarily ghostwrite and edit nonfiction memoir and business books. I've worked on a comedy memoir. You can find the book I edited on my portfolio and I hyperlinked it. I'm glad to share her information with you as a referral if you'd like. Question number two, can you name a few comparable books you've edited, specifically memoirs or adventure narratives? I can't list all the books because as a ghostwriter, I have an NDA with some of my clients. However, I do have a few books that are linked here and I link that in the document. Number three, what excites you most about this manuscript based on the samples? I said, my response is, it was well written. I love the way you told your story. You would be surprised about the amount of people who write a book and they don't have good writing skills, but it makes the work much harder and less enjoyable if someone hasn't written the book well. Number four, how do you approach preserving an author's voice while strengthening clarity and pacing, setups, escalation, and callbacks? By having an onboarding session with the client, listening to their podcast if they have one, and editing a chapter, then meeting up with the client to make any corrections before moving on to the remainder of the rest of the script to ensure I have their voice. And friends, this is really essentially important. I have talked to so many people and so many clients who I have either re-edited their book or have done book coaching and they've had to rewrite their book because of this one mistake. They hire somebody and that person they don't see that person until their book is finished or halfway through their book and their book isn't what they want. Every time after I do chapter one, I meet with my client and say, hey, here's my revisions. What would you like me to change? make sure to get your voice and tone correct? And or is there anything I'm saying in here that you don't use, like expressions you don't use, things like that, right? Once we get through that, then I have a very clear understanding of what my client is, you know, wants. We can also create a style guide, just like I did talked about a few episodes ago. Some of my clients want to create a style guide, some of them don't. But if they do want to create a style guide, I can do that for them and add that to the services that I provide. Number 5, this manuscript blends humor, science, and emotional moments. How do you approach maintaining that balance? If something feels off or not right, I'll tag the author and let them know. Then I'll make suggestions. If those aren't what my client is looking for, we can hop on a short call to iron out the details. Again, I always hop on a call after chapter 1, but I also hop on a call typically midway through the book to make sure everything is going well and see if there's any further little corrections we need to make going forward, because I'd rather know in the beginning and make those corrections going forward then finding out at the end of the book my client didn't like my edit, and then I get a bad rating, and then they're not happy, and then I'm not happy because my client isn't happy. Meeting up on a regular basis, even with a book editor, is essential. If your book editor's refusing to meet you at all, say no. That's a huge red flag. And I'm not saying like they have to meet you every week for an hour. I think that's obsessive. Meeting definitely after chapter 1 and maybe midway through the book. And I usually meet my clients like before the last chapter is edited, just so they, if they have any other questions. And then at the end of the process, I always meet them to clear up any other edits we need to clear up. And we do that on real time in Zoom. So that's really helpful for my clients, because then we have everything cleared up that they have a question on. Because sometimes I do an edit and my clients, they're not loving that edit, but they do want an edit, but it's not the one that I made. So we hop on that Zoom call, and then I say, how about this? Or how about this? And then we find a good solution to that edit. And then we move forward. What's your approach to self-deprecating humor? When does it work? When does it undermine credibility? It depends on the story, what you're trying to create, and the purpose of your book. Because this person had clearly a book with humor in it, and I'm reading his direct questions. Obviously, your questions would be specifically for your type of book, so you would have to edit this out a little bit. It depends on the story, what you're trying to create, and the purpose of your book. Once I know these details, I can judge when and where this type of humor works for your story. Number 7, what is your philosophy on cutting material? How do you decide what stays and what goes? I use Google Docs and I make suggested line edits when I edit, so the client can see the original copy and my changes. Clients can approve or delete my changes. When I work with clients, because I'm also an author and also a creative and also write my own books, I understand that this is an emotional process and sometimes it takes a bit longer to work through. And that's okay. I make a copy of the author's original work that is shared that I work on, because I want my client to have their original copy for reference. I never cut out material completely unless the client asks me to or the client approves that. I like to use an additional content document, so I copy and paste any material that we decide not to use at that time so that you can use it in the future. Question number 8, how do you typically flag suggestions and must fix issues? By using the comment and or suggested edits in Google Doc. Number 9, how do you deliver feedback? Track changes, editorial letter, margin comments, or combination? Margin comments and suggested edits on Google Documents. I can download the final file into a PDF or a Word document, whatever you prefer. For formatting, you typically want to use a Word document and not to format in the Word document, let's be clear. So you take the Word document and then you use that and upload it into your formatter, and or you can just copy and paste the material from Google Docs, which I've done before, and put it in a Word for a professional Word formatter. Okay, we're not talking about using Word as a formatter. You don't want to do that, like I said in previous episodes. Number 10, how many passes are included in your standard edit? What does each pass focus on? 2 passes are included. First, we go through the chapter 1, like I said before, and then once that's edited, then I do any round 2 of any edits. And once those are complete, your edits are finished, and we wrap up any small issues in that last one-to-one meeting. Number 11, do you offer follow-up consultation after I review your edits? Yes. And friends, if you are confused by any of this and you need support and you don't want to spend thousands of dollars in a self-publishing course, then what are you waiting for? Come and join me inside Publishing for Leaders today, just like Reagan did in her comments, because I want you to add author to your bio before the end of the year. When you join my new community in school, you're going to find weekly tips and advice on self-publishing. Not only that, you get 1 group coaching session absolutely free every month. And if you don't get your questions answered in that group coaching session, no worries, because guess what?
I have a coffee chat that's an informal coffee chat where you come and just ask me questions that you have about self-publishing. And I will answer them for you during our coffee chat once a month. So members also have access to past recordings. So if you missed these, some recordings that you want to see, no worries. Just jump in now and join because it's free and you can watch those past recordings in the video vault. Remember, jump in now because the first 100 members are free and complimentary and it's going to fill up fast. So go to www.school.com, S-K-O-O-L, and search Publishing for Leaders. Join today. The link is also in the show notes. All right, let's get on to question 12. The manuscript is currently 90,000 words. What's your sense of whether that's right for this genre? For fiction, this is standard. It's a bit long for nonfiction, but you have two options. You can publish this as two or three books or keep this as one longer novel. The current trend is for shorter books, although some stories aren't told well in two or three books. We can discuss this on a discovery call because here's the thing, my friends. You can't just say, hey, this is 90,000 words. Is it going to work? Or is this X words? Is it going to work? It really depends on the content, okay, and how the person is writing it. And sometimes you can cut out large chunks of things. Sometimes you can take out pieces and make it a lead magnet. Sometimes you can take out pieces and create like an introduction with it. So there's lots of different things you can do to shorten a book. It doesn't mean you have to throw out work. It just means you can repurpose it into different things like blogs, right? Or LinkedIn newsletters, whatever you want to repurpose it into. So if you have a really big book and you need to cut it down, it doesn't mean you have to throw out your work. You can just use it for something else. I'm a big believer in repurposing your content. What is a typical turnaround time for a manuscript of 85,000 words? And this was a developmental edit. So it's 2 to 3 weeks, depending on how quickly my client responds to any questions. One client I have now is doing a developmental inline edit that typically takes me 2 to 3 weeks. And it's taking us for 3 months because we've just been having some technical issues with her getting into Google. And she also has a full-time job, just like most of the people listening to this podcast. She can only work on her book on weekends. So she has limited time where she can work on her book. And then we had the holiday, so that extended it. But typically, if we don't have any issues with timing, it's 2 to 3 weeks. Can you clarify what's included? I offer dev and line editing. That's developmental and line editing. If you would like a quote for additional copy editing, I work with another editor. We can tag team the client work. I can send you a proposal for all your editing. Do you work on a flat fee or hourly rate? I work on a flat fee, and that includes the two passes and the 3 30-minute meetings. What is your availability? When can you start? I'm typically 2 weeks out. So if you want to work on a book together, I'm typically 2 weeks out. When I'm really busy, I'm 4 weeks out. So right now in April, I'm about 3 weeks out right now. If you want to work with me, definitely hit up a discovery call on my website, writeforyou.me. Get in as soon as you can and I can get your work done pretty quickly once I have you on my schedule. 17, do you have a contract or letter of agreement? Yes, I have a general contract. So when my client fills out their client intake, there's a general contract on that that just explains like very general things about working together. My payment terms are half upfront and half the week, like right as we're ending the work. Are you comfortable signing an NDA? Absolutely. I'm a ghostwriter, so confidentiality is key to my business. Number 19, if I have questions mid-edit, what's the best way to reach you? For a quick question, clients can text me. For other questions, they can email me. I'm available standard work hours during the week. Can you provide 2 to 3 references from authors you worked with? Yes, I can send them over once we are looking to move to the next step. So I'm not going to send over references for someone who's just doing a general inquiry. But if someone says, hey, I've shortlisted you, it's you and like 2 or 3 other people, then I'll send the references. Do you have a professional affiliations? Yes. EFA, I'm also professionally associated with Romance Writers of America, Willamette Valley Writers, and there's a couple others. 22, can you share a before or after sample from a similar project? Yes, I can send this to you if you're looking to move to the next step. Number 23, what would make you turn down a project? A high maintenance client who wants to text or email me at 2 a.m. in the morning or all hours of the weekend and expect a reply. You text me at 2 in the morning, that's fine. Because I have my phone on silent, it's not going to bother me whatsoever. But Don't expect to reply at 2 a.m. I will reply to you when I start my workday. Someone who doesn't respond to emails. Client who consistently asks me to do free work. A client who emails me daily with questions about work. That's totally unprofessional, right? To like have an email once a week about a question or a text once a week or once every couple weeks, no big deal. But if you're emailing somebody every day, that's super unprofessional. I won't work with people like that. A client who is misogynistic, demeaning, or disrespectful, I would not work on their project. I'm very easy to work with, friends. I'm also an author, podcaster, and creative, so you always get the last say in your book. As I have read from other reviews, my client is my number one priority, so I always want to preserve your voice, and you always get the last call. So if I suggest an edit and you don't want it, you can say no, and my feelings are not going to be hurt. This is your book. I will always give you my professional advice. I will always give you what I think is the best way to move forward. But if you want to move forward a different way, that's your choice. And again, if you're looking for more support in your self-publishing journey and you want to talk to other people who are positive, who are moving forward, who like to chunk out their small goals, and we want to celebrate wins, then definitely join me on my school community. That's school.com, S-K-O-O-L, and join the community for support and our complimentary group coaching sessions once a month and our complimentary coffee chats. I can't wait to see you in there. All right, my friends, I hope this has been super helpful in knowing the questions to ask. Again, join the school community and I will post this in the general discussion for you. If you don't see it there, please ping me and I will, inside of school, and I will post that for you. Until next week, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. Thanks for joining me today on the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I really hope this episode has equipped you with an actionable strategy for your publishing journey. If you found the information on today's show valuable, make sure to rate and leave a review for my show on your favorite podcast player. And also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and get the next episode dropped as soon as it's published. Until next week, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. This podcast is brought to you by Unicorn Publishing Company. The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guests, and affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional, legal, or financial advice, or any professional advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guests are those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guests, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or actions taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests from any liability.